We live in a world where knowledge is at our fingertips. We can tap into our keyboard on our laptop or on our iPad or whatever. We can even talk to a variety of electronic equipment. And these will provide us with answers to all sorts of questions. And we all appreciate all this modern equipment, which is so useful to us and helpful in many different ways. But there's an enormous amount of information that we have on tap at the touch of a button. And I sometimes wonder if we have so much information we don't really know what to do with it. And of course, the concern today is that a lot is being held by different organisations about each one of us. If you go into an airport or even to a shopping centre, your presence will have been recorded on camera. If you drive your car, your number will have been recorded. There's security cameras all over the main roads. Many organisations want to check your ID when you speak to them. When you visit your bank, they want to see what you can produce to confirm that you are the person you claim to be. It seems to me that today we're known by a mixture of numbers and letters. We have our national insurance code. We have our tax number. We have our bank account number. We have our credit card number and all the passwords and security codes. Our home has a postcode. We have a telephone number. We have our council tax reference. We have numbers on our gas and electricity bills. Well, this morning I want to speak about the person who knows the most about us. And he is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to consider the extent of our knowledge of him and of God the Father, and his greater knowledge of us. I want to draw your attention to that chapter which Emery very kindly read to us, 1 Corinthians 13. And I want to focus on a verse which speaks about knowing and being known, seeing and being seen. Verse 12, the Apostle Paul writing this letter says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known." The word translated dimly there could be translated seeing indirectly or indistinctly. And if you look back to the original King James Version of the Bible, it has see through a glass darkly. The point is that this glass or mirror, it's the image that's distinct, the image that's not clear at all. And Paul is obviously contrasting what we see now with what we shall see in the future. What we know now with what we shall know in the future. And of course, he points out that the Lord Jesus Christ already knows an enormous amount all about us. It seems to me there's an awful lot in this verse if you look at it. And in this time this morning, I just want to, as it were, unpack the verse. I won't say everything about the verse, but I just want to unpack it and see what Paul is actually telling us here. As the text tells us, not only how we see now, how we know now, it also tells us when we shall see and when we shall know fully. But it also tells us how much we know now. And it tells us how much we shall truly know in the future. And it also speaks of our Lord's knowledge of us and how we shall know him in the future. Chapter 13 here of this letter is, of course, the great chapter about love, Christian love. And throughout the chapter, the Apostle Paul gives a series of contrasts. He says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And then in verse 8, he tells us, love never fails. Other things will cease or fail. And the reason for this is in verse 9, we only know in part, we prophesy in part. When that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. And then you look at verse 11, Paul expands on the kind of contrast that he's talking about. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's a good illustration, isn't it? We're born as babes in this world. We start as children, growing up. But when we grow up, we begin to see and know things differently. We begin as babes in our understanding. But when we reach maturity, we know in a more complete way. And then we come to our verse 12, which starts with this illustration. There's this glass or this mirror. It's a poor mirror. It's a poor piece of glass. At best, it can only produce a poor image now. And Paul is telling us it's only a partial seeing that we have now. It's only a partial understanding that we have now. But eventually, our seeing, our knowing, our understanding will be quite different. Well, let's start to unpack the verse, as it were. The first thing that the verse tells us, that there is, although there's this present deficiency in our seeing and in our knowing spiritual things, Paul does say that we see now. We do understand now in measure. And of course, this is the great contrast between the great mass of people who are outside of the church today, who know nothing of these spiritual things. Or as our Lord says, they see, but they don't see and don't perceive. They don't hear, but they don't understand. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting people outside of the church don't see and don't understand. In fact, when our Lord was here on earth, he could be seen and he could be heard by everybody. The New Testament makes clear that his time on earth was not secret. His words are recorded in the Gospels. We have the record of the early church, and there is the record of men and women in the Old Testament too. All this can be read and studied by all today. The places that are referred to, they can be visited. You can see the remains of some of these places. The Bible contains all this. It's not a secret book. It's not an inaccessible book. It's something we can all see and read for ourselves. But why is it that when a true Christian looks at these things, he or she can understand and appreciate the significance, while others simply cannot understand what we're talking about? And the Apostle Paul is suggesting the reason for this in this illustration, in this text here. They're looking through a glass or a mirror, something that's completely distorted. The result is they see a distorted picture of spiritual things. And above all, they see a distorted view of God and the world that he's created. And it's only when we start to begin to see through the glass, we start to see the significance of it all. And the trouble is, isn't it, that God doesn't fit into the thinking of modern men and women in our modern technological world. We can create, we can make so many different things. Many people think we can make or create anything. Everything we need for ourselves. We have so much. We have everything at our fingertips. We're self-sufficient. We can do these things. We don't need to think about God. We don't need to think about a creator at all. But when we turn to the Bible, we see there's a completely different view of men and women Genesis 1 tells us that God created men and women after his own image. He declared man good. God was pleased with his creation. God created a world for men and women to know him, to have fellowship with him, and to have communion with him. And all this, of course, is vitally important, because until we see the significance of this, we shall never really know the God who created us. And knowing God is the foundation of absolutely everything. Do you remember our Lord's words in that great high priestly prayer in John 17? He said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." Our Lord is telling us that knowing God the Father, is the very heart of our salvation. This is in the Old Testament too. Jeremiah's prophecy records God's words, "I will give a new heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." You see, men and women, boys and girls today, may be gifted, they may be talented, their minds may be filled with knowledge of many things, but if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they simply don't really know God the Father. When we begin to understand this, we begin to understand who men and women were created to be. You see, in our text, Paul is reminding us that sin came into the world in the first place. He's pointed us to the fall in Adam. Adam enjoyed unhindered fellowship with God, communion with him. But sin came into the world. It brought corruption to everyone and everything ever since. God created a world in which men and women would live here forever. But sin has polluted it. And the result is that this is in each one of us. We've been born into this. We've inherited it. We don't become sinners because we commit sin. We sin because we were born sinners. By nature we are sinners. The effects of this sin, this pollution, is everywhere to be seen in the world. This is why the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're simply not fit for Almighty God. But the wonder of the gospel is that God has not left us in this state. In his love, he sent his Lord Jesus Christ into the world to overcome sin for us, so that we might have new life in him by repenting of our sin and looking to him for salvation. And when the Lord works in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith, we begin to see through this darkened, blackened glass, blackened by sin. We begin to see that blackness becomes a little clearer. We don't see everything here and now, says Paul. Since our eyesight is still restricted, we're still living in a sinful world. But this glass becomes progressively brighter and clearer as our spiritual eyesight improves, and as we see more and more as we go on in the Christian life. Our spiritual food is the Word of God. This is so vitally important, as we're saying to the children, they listen to the Word of God and hear it. The more we read it, the more we study it, the more we pray over it, the more we shall know about the one about whom it's all written. Praise God, we can know him more and more each day. This is why God's Word is so important to us. It's here to help us, to encourage us. We can pray to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. The prayers of the Christian are heard in heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ is there for us. We have the joy of Christian fellowship as we meet together, like we are today on Sunday, worshipping and studying the Word. We can pray together. And wonder of wonders, the Lord has promised to be with us as we gather together around his word. And because we have joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to serve him. We want others to come and know him too. Paul prayed for the Ephesian Christians that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith, that they, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes other knowledge, that they may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is what we grasp by faith. As our text tells us, one day faith will be sight. One day we shall see. One day we shall know these things perfectly. But as Paul says in the second book, letter to the Corinthians, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. From glory to glory. This is how we're moving. This is what our Lord intends us to see. He intends us to see glimpses of this here and now, even through this dark glass. And we can see glimpses of it even in this fallen world. We can say with the hymn writer as we've been singing, heaven above is softer blue. Earth beneath is deeper green. Something lives in every hue. Christless eyes have never seen. Of course, in this sinful world, our faith can be sorely tested and tried. Sometimes we find our faith stronger than at other times. It's summer now, but in winter, when the weather's cold, plants wither in the garden, don't they? Perhaps sometimes we find it's winter in our hearts, and we're seemingly frozen and lifeless. Other times everything seems much clearer. We have a touch of the warmth of heaven itself. Job found himself in this situation. Look, I go forward, he says at one point, but he's not there, and backward. I cannot perceive him. Some days we might cry out with the psalmist, how long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? We must remember in these days that we're still living in an earthly body. It's decaying. But our text points us forward to the great day coming where we shall see as we've never seen before, and we shall know as we've never known before. But I want to go on and point to you exactly what Paul is saying here. He says, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. In other words, we shall see and know just how the Lord Jesus Christ sees and knows us. But more than that, Paul is telling us that this begins here and now. You see, this glass not only shows us more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also shows us more and more of what we're really like ourselves. And this is very challenging indeed, isn't it? Because our Lord sees through and through. He knows us through and through. When we truly trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, we rejoice in his righteousness. We begin to see something of what we're really like in the sight of God. But he sees what you and I were doing earlier this morning. He knows what you were doing, what you're going to do when you leave this place. He's seen and known what you did last week. He's seen and known what you did last year. He's seen us throughout our lives, and he sees right into our hearts. He knows what we've done, and he knows what we haven't done. He knows what we're really like. He sees the remaining sin within, the sin which we try to hide even from ourselves. By his grace, we seek to rid ourselves of these things through the work of the Holy Spirit and become more and more like him every day, so that more of the image of Christ may be seen in our lives as we grow in grace and know him more each day. The wonder of it all is that when we reach heaven, this glass or mirror will be completely done away with. We shall see clearly because our salvation will be complete and we shall have a new glorified body in the new heavens and the new earth. Well, my time is going. Let me draw this all together. Let me remind you what chapter 13 is all about. It's all about Christian love, isn't it? And in many ways, I suggest that throughout the chapter, you could substitute the word love with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Love is what characterized the whole of his ministry. Paul is effectively saying, unless you have the love of Christ in your hearts, all is pointless. At the end of the chapter, Paul says, now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest is surely the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in the middle of our verse 12 is surely one of the greatest statements in the whole of Scripture about our relationship with him. We shall see him face to face. Our Lord's whole purpose in coming into this world was to rescue us from our sin, to bring us to God the Father in the glory of heaven. God in his love and his mercy saw that we could never rid ourselves of the sin within each one of us. We could only be rid of this sin by him sending his one and only Son into this world to die in our place. There was no other way that we could be free from sin. The only way that we could be made fit for heaven was through the Lord Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary in our place. And when we reach glory, we shall see him face to face. We shall know, as we've never known before, the absolute wonder of our salvation. The gospel is all about the glory of God revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said in the second letter to the Corinthians, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are moving from glory to glory until we see face to face the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is absolutely amazing, isn't it? In fact, it's so amazing that we simply cannot say exactly what it means. Our minds are so small, our minds are so finite, as Paul has been telling us. There's some suggestions in Scripture that this is impossible in a physical sense. But what we can say is that in some way or other, you and I, if we love the Lord as Saviour, we'll see him face to face as we are promised here. And this is precisely what our Lord prayed for in John 17. I've quoted this already, I'll quote it again. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. Yes, by faith, we see something of that glory here and now, but then we shall see face to face where he is. Faith will be turned into sight. As the Apostle John says in the third chapter of his first letter, behold, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Doesn't it thrill your heart when you think of all the troubles and difficulties we face in this modern world? When we grasp the wonder and the glory of seeing him face to face, surely all of this falls into insignificance. Even if you are a Christian this morning, you can see and know something, even in this fallen world. One day it will be complete. One day we shall reach glory in the new heavens and the new earth. We shall see him as he is. Christ has given us his righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. In this robe of his love, we are being made, we are made fit for the glory of heaven. In terms of eternity, our time here is very short. Not many of us are going to live very long lives. someday all we see around us here is going to pass away. And my question this morning is, where do you stand in all of this? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour? If you know nothing of these things, my message to you is to repent, turn around from your sin. Look to him for salvation. And my message to all of you this morning is this. Are we ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face? Amen. Let's close by singing our final hymn, which is When This Passing World Is Done, Murray McShane's lovely hymn, number 862. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.